Final hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It has been a day. We have just talked a lot about the NFL situation, the Titans situation. Meanwhile, the NHL draft is going on. We're expected to be joined by Chris Mason here in a moment or two. We are efforting to grab him right now. In the meantime, we will tell you.
He's busy, too. Just it's a busy day.
Yeah, he's had plenty to follow, but we hope we can get his perspective.
I'll throw this piece of news out, and again, a lot of reporting out there with what's going on with the Tennessee Titans. A lot of people on this, but once again, Paul Kaharsky reporting that Ryan Tannehill was one of the players spotted at NBA on September 30th doing workouts. So, again, well, we have to find out, had the NFL at that point recommended that they don't gather or mandated that they don't gather?
I remember this distinctly, too, in the Zoom call, which was a day or two later, where Mike Vrabel was asked about this. I believe it was Chris Harris, who even said, if Ryan Tannehill were to want to throw a few passes to some people, would he be able to do that? Like, I don't know if Chris knew something at the time, you know? But it was interesting how he asked it. I just thought about it at the time. I was like, why is he asking that? And Mike Vrabel said, we've told them not to gather. But remember, this is, in retrospect, this is a day or two after there was a gathering. So the question is going to come up, did he know that they had done that? And what happened in between those two points in time? So you're asking a good question. Right. What had they been told on that day? Because once again, if they had done that Saturday or Sunday, that had been a way different story. They did it before the bombshell started dropping that they had additional positive tests day after day after day. Right. Every passing day it would have been a worse look to see that. At the time, the game against the Steelers was still going to be on. The attitude was, We may not be able to practice, but we got to be ready to play the Steelers, a pair of 3-0 teams on Sunday. So I'm hoping that that's taken into a consideration. We'll see.
Yeah. No, I do too. But in the whole forfeit talk, I mean, like I said earlier, in the 101-year history of the NFL, there's never been an official forfeit. Now, there was 1921. There was one that was kind of viewed as is that a forfeit? Or they call it a cancellation, but when you think about how long the NFL has been around and they haven't, this hasn't happened, this would be huge. I mean, in the middle of a pandemic where there's a lot of different things going on, new things, it's something that no team has ever faced, and yet they're going to find a way to get themselves punished if this happens. So
we await word on the Titans front. But have we found Mace? This is good. So let's, as we get Mace ready to go, let's tell you quickly what the Predators have been up to today. Number one, last night they drafted Yaroslav Askarov from Russia.
Askarov is how I've said it.
Yeah, I think Askarov is right. I did not take Russian, but that's what we'll go with for now. 17 years old. Playing in the KHL as we speak on Yakov Trenin's team. Pretty interesting. But certainly at this age, he's a little bit down the road. It was a surprising pick. We'll get into that. Today, Kyle Turris placed on unconditional waivers or whatever they call it for the purposes of buying him out. So he will be a free agent soon. He'll be on the books for the Predators at about $2 million per year for the next 8 years. It's a very pricey buyout, but I guess it was the end of a saga where they just could not find a place for him on the team, and they could not find a deal with him somewhere else. Also, the Predators have traded Nick Bonino, plus a second-round pick and a third-round pick, in exchange for a fourth-round pick and center Luke Cunnan of the Minnesota Wild. So a swap between two division rivals, Predators and Wild. Cunnan for Bonino with some draft picks. An expensive price for Bonino, but Luke Cunnan, you're sitting there saying, who's Luke Cunnan? First round pick, 2016, 15th overall, who at age 22 had 15 goals and 16 assists in this past season, 31 points in 63 games. So in an 81 game or 82 game season, who knows, maybe close to 20 goals with that, very possibly. And that's a very young player who is now a restricted free agent, and the Predators will have to strike a deal with him. So with that in the backdrop, we bring in Chris Mason. Mace, how you doing? It's been a day, hasn't it?
It's been crazy. It's been nuts. I turned the draft on. There were a couple trades before, and then the Predators didn't waste much time making a splash on day two. And, you know, I was literally watching this morning, just watching as much as I could on Askarov and just seeing what he's all about and trying to get some different, you know, people's opinions on him and everything. And then all of a sudden the Preds start just dropping bombs left and right. And it was, it's been a day. It has been a day.
All right, so let's start with Askarov, because you're a goalie. We were together last night when it went down. I was definitely surprised that they took it, but let's set that aside first, because I think knowing the history of the Predators, they've been hesitant to draft first round goalies. They haven't had success with it. They've had two guys that they've tried it with, and neither of them worked out. They've had great success with lower round draft picks as goalies, and on top of that, this kid is from Russia, where as a youngster in Russia, sometimes there are issues bringing him over to North America to play in your system. So all of that said, this guy had to be really special for them to consider him. But when you start reading the scouting reports about this kid, they are not only glowing, but they are sort of like best in a long, long time kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm reading like this could be the best goaltending prospect in the last decade. Like, that's how good he is. And I watched him today. I've seen him before in the World Juniors and different tournaments and, you know, just in small doses. But this kid has freakish abilities. He's unbelievable. He does remind me more, they've compared him to Pekka, but he reminds me more along the lines of what he told us last night, the Vasilevskiy type of goaltender. Not quite as big, but he's 6'3". You mentioned he's still a very young kid, obviously just getting drafted yesterday. This is, to me, you know, when you're talking about other potential players that the Predators could have taken there, and with Seth Jarvis and Gouley, the defenseman, was still there, and, you know, there's some other obviously really talented players, but this guy was far and away the best at his position, and this could be, you know, a... you know, star goaltender. They're comparing him in terms of his ability and, you know, future projection, the Carey Price, and Carter Hart's only just getting into the league. But when you're getting, you know, included and thrown around in names like that, it's pretty impressive. And to see this kid and the amount I watched him today, it's unbelievable the way that he moves and just his spatial awareness in the net, his athleticism, the way he really just makes it look easy. And when I watched Vasilevskiy a few years ago, I think we're talking about this when, you know, the race was between Pekka and Vasilevskiy. There's been certain goaltenders where I've seen and have just got this feeling of just, wow, they're just so much more advanced than 99% of the other guys that play their position in the best league in the world. And watching him and then watching some of the clips of the other, you know, prospects that were going to be drafted this year, he's just head and shoulders above everybody. So to me, I think this is a great pick. And I think now you talked about the Predators' past. Now they've got, you know, kind of snake bitten on their first round picks. I feel like it's easier to get information on players now, so much easier. The lines of communication with video, the networks of, you know, hockey people and agents and all this kind of stuff out there. I really feel you can get a really good book and a pulse on what type of person is and what their aspirations are. Obviously, you know, a lot of times players that play in the KHL have a tendency, they can stay there and probably make more money in their, you know, than they'll make in their first 5 years of their NHL contract if they stayed over there. But this kid, we talked to him last night, Willie. He was, matter of fact, like, he wants to come over here and he wants to play in the NHL. I think today on his media availability, he said he wants to be the best goalie to ever play in the NHL. So yeah. I like that.
I think his interpreter threw out the word superstar.
Yeah.
He wants to be a superstar.
Yeah.
You know, translating for him. So he's 17. As you mentioned, Mace, 17-year-olds generally are not playing in the KHL, but he is. So he's advanced. He's playing against men. What does this mean for Juuse Saros? This is what everybody who is a Predator fan is thinking in the now, right? It's he's so young. How long would it be before he potentially could be over here and be in the plans?
Well, you know, even if he does come over, let's say, you know, you heard David Poile say, you know, 2 years and play over there for 2 years and then bring him over. That doesn't automatically mean that he's going to be playing in the National Hockey League. It could potentially mean that. But even if he did, I know, I'll just use Vasilevskiy for an example. When he came over, it was a very similar situation. This kid was, there's no doubt he could play in the National Hockey League. But depending on, you know, where they are in their development as, you know, not only as a player, but as a human being and all the off-ice stuff, and there's going to be a lot of things he's going to have to acclimate to over here. Obviously, he doesn't speak very good English. A lot of different challenges in that regard, so I'm not sure if, you know, he'd come over and start in Milwaukee, which I would suspect would happen, and maybe, you know, get some games up and all that kind of thing. But I think Juuse Saros has enough, plenty of time before he has to worry about Askarov, and he's, you know, he's going to be establishing himself more in the league. He's a proven commodity right now. Next, you know, step for him in the evolution of his career is, you know, being the number one goalie and you know, carrying the mail every night. You know, we know that what he can do and what he's done is been absolutely impressive for such a young goaltender, but, you know, he's at the point now where he's going to be, you know, going into a new phase of his career. And he's, you know, as Pekka has one more year in his deal, whether he comes back on that or not, we don't know yet. But, you know, it's trending more and more toward Juuse Saros is going to be the guy moving forward. So that's where his focus has to be. There's guys every single year that are going to come up. And, yeah, you got this guy, or we traded for this guy. And it always happens. And Juuse Saros just has to take care of business, which he has been doing at very elite levels. And he continues to progress. And, you know, when he does get that job and he'll hold on to it, I don't think that he has anything to worry about quite yet.
Mace, before we talk about Luke Cunnan, because I think a lot of people are really curious, you know, who is this guy? How good is he? Where does he fit? Let's first salute Nick Bonino, because we had nothing but fantastic dealings with him. He is the consummate pro, which is probably why he had the trade value that he did. But 3 great years here is, just doing everything that they hoped he would do.
Oh, man. I just, you know, there's just, I can't say enough good things about Nick Bonino. Obviously, on the ice, I think, like you said, I think he did everything they expected and more with him. He was such a consistent player in terms of the way he played the game, the way he contributed. If he wasn't scoring goals at times, he was making big contributions on the penalty kill, on the faceoff circle, and just, you know, obviously with his leadership and the way that he carries himself, he's a big part of this team in terms of your leadership group and who the guys look to for guidance in those situations to get them through the tough times and all that. And he did have a lot of great offensive moments as well. He was that, you know, 200-foot player, what we thought that he was going to be, blocking shots and scoring goals and right around the net and just, you know, a smart, dominant face-off guy. But, you know, off the ice too, with his, you know, dedication and his support of the military, Bones Barracks, and, you know, he's spoke at a ton of those events when they held in salute for the military, and I just think that, you know, he's just a great person, and he had a lot of trade value. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the sucky part about sports is you tend to lose good people along the way to other organizations, and, you know, the Predators are in a situation now where, you know, it's I wouldn't say a crossroad, but it's time for change, and they want to get younger. And I think in Cunnan they get a player who, you talk about potential. This guy is got a lot of offensive upside. You mentioned his 15 goals last year, 15th overall pick. This kid's he's got talent. He's young. He's a centerman. He can play the wing. He's got that versatility. He can penalty kill. But he's got a lot of offensive upside, and I think, to me, that's kind of what the Predators need a little more of, is a little more of those guys with the potential and the offensive upside in their games. And I think, you know, obviously Nick Bonino was awesome and did everything he could for, in his role and more, to be honest with you. I thought he was awesome. But, you know, the Preds are at a point now where they're obviously making big moves, and they're going in a little bit of a different direction here.
So, Mace, this is a key question, I think, because you can see a guy like Colton Sissons taking the role of Nick Bonino. I think he's very capable of doing that from a leadership standpoint. He's starting to pile up experience. He's got the tools to be an excellent third-line center. For Luke Cunningham, you just mentioned a key thing. Can he play on the wing? Because the central question going forward is, who's going to play with Matt Duchene? So do you see Cunningham as a possible complement on the same line as Matt Duchene?
Yeah, you definitely could. I've tried to look at that too, and I totally agree with you. I think Colton Sissons is, you know, he's done whatever's been asked of him. If he has to be a checking forward and put the offensive side of his game, you know, on the back burner to get things done defensively, he's done that. If he's, you know, they move him up and they want him to try to be a little more offensive, he's got those tools as well. So I definitely think that he's capable of, you know, handling that responsibility as a third line center. And, you know, Cunningham is a guy that could, you know, if he's not going to center, you know, the third line, if he's going to be, if they're going to want him as a top six guy, I don't see any reason why he couldn't fill that role. I'm sure there will be, as we know, many different combinations tried. I think that will be one of them. But it's, you know, when you start seeing all the projections of the personnel that they have right now distributed into lines, it's kind of, it looks a lot different already. And it's crazy to think about. And that's not even including free agency. And you'd think with the tourist move and Bonino to Minnesota that they've opened up quite a bit of cap space to potentially make a little bit of a splash on free agencies too. So I think in a few days we'll have a better idea and maybe we'll have a little, you know, clearer picture of what lines could be.
Chris Mason is with us, Predators analyst. And Chris, appreciate you. I know we said last week was it for a while. I'm glad you were able to join us again this week with so much to talk about, including a new goaltender in the organization. With what you just said, you know, depending with the cap room and what they could do at free agency, I think none of us have believed that this team, David Poile, was going into a full-on rebuild mode, that it was more of a retooling, just trying to, you know, what was in place just wasn't working. They were not getting to the goal of winning the Stanley Cup. So if your guys on this roster right now, and you know that you're going to be here, you know, some of the core players, I mean, now seeing the moves, even though you hate losing some teammates, is there a little bit of excitement building up of, okay, let's see what happens in the next few days and then get to work once the season gets going?
Oh, 100%. You know, obviously, you know, I'm sure a lot of the guys, when you lose a player that's as respected and well-liked as Nick Bonino, it's a tough pill to swallow. But it's also, to me, it's a big eye-opener and a big wake-up call for these players to say, you know what, they've given us a chance. We had that amazing run in 2017, won the President's Trophy, had some disappointing playoffs. We have a good team. We have good personnel. David Poile, the organization, gave us a chance to try to do it. We didn't get the job done in playoffs. It was, if you look back, probably, you know, extremely disappointing with the group of players and the talent that they had, the way they finished the year. To me, this is a way to say, all right, guys, let's, you know, this is, we're going to have a whole new team. It's kind of like getting a new coach. You know, everything that's happened before is kind of in the past, and you have a fresh outlook on it. And I think if I'm a player, you know, you're also a little more, you got to prove yourself again. You got to come in and you got to earn your stripes some more. You have that new coach and you're going to be playing with potentially new players. You got a lot of youth coming in on the team. Tomasino potentially getting a lineup spot, Tolvanen maybe, you know, Carrier could be on the back end. You're going to have a lot of new faces, and we really haven't seen that in the last 4 years here. So this is something that I think is going to maybe inject more of that, you know, that fire and that, just that excitement, like you said, into this team instead of just coming back with the same guys and, you know, all right, you guys have a good team. You know, what's here? Well, we want to win the Stanley Cup. And it's the same guys the last few years or so, with the exception of very few. So to me, it's I'm getting excited about it. You know, you got some really good draft picks that we had. And, you know, David Poile's making some moves and trying to get younger. And then we'll see on Friday what happens there. So I think it is exciting, and I'm excited for this team and what they're doing here right now.
The Predators actually just made their third-round selection, 73rd overall. Defenseman Luke Prokop from Calgary of the WHL. This team has known how to develop some defensemen over the years, as we know. So another one comes into the fold. So when with speculation in free agency and Taylor Hall's name, of course, is out there. How much do you have to put into the fact that he's played for John Hines and they had a pretty good relationship when they were together in New Jersey?
Well, I think it's definitely something. You know, I got to talk to Dan Hynote, and Lindsay talked to John Hines on our show last night about that, and just saying, you know, asking the involvement of coaches in the draft and in free agency. And he said, you know, we're not really involved that much in the draft stuff. We're there for support and just to, you know, give some input if asked. But they're a lot more involved in free agency and the personnel that they bring in. I definitely think you can't discount the fact that they have had a relationship, and, you know, from all accounts, it's been a really good, respectful, you know, interaction and relationship with Taylor Hall and John Hines. They both had, you know, glowing things to say about each other when asked. So, I mean, that this is somebody, if they're really interested, I mean, there's no better person to ask about, you know, what Taylor Hall is and as a person, and the way that, you know, the transition, he kind of compared it to the transition that he went through with Taylor Hall as to what he's going through with some of the guys on this team, Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene, and not just to necessarily worry all about the points and the offensive side of the game, but if you, you know, if you play the right way and you play the team game, those things will come. And I think you definitely have to take that into consideration. And obviously money and term are going to be a big thing, and cap space. But I think that his name is been talked about for the Nashville Predators for a reason.
Mace, leave us with this. Let's yo-yo back to Luke Cunnan for a moment. I have to be honest. I think he's played several games against the Predators, but I don't know if he's ever had a big game where he has jumped out off the page. I looked at some video highlights of his goals. He's got some skill. There's no question. We've talked a lot about, though, also trying to add that element of stick your nose in there, that toughness, get to the net, go to the hard areas. Do we know anything about his skill set that way? Because I know when you're drafted in the first round, you're drafted to be a goal scorer, right? I mean, and his track record at Wisconsin, he scored a lot of goals. He's got that pedigree for sure, and you can see it with the goals he scored. But what about that other stuff?
Well, I think that, you know, this is it's a young kid, and I think with what I've heard about him, that he is capable of a guy that you could put on the penalty kill, and I think David Poile said that as well. So, you know, when you have a young kid that you can put on the penalty kill, you don't often see young players out there because just the responsibility is too great, and, you know, one little breakdown or one mistake here or there, and it's in the back of the net, and a lot of times you kind of have to, you know, earn your way into it, get a little, you know, spot time here and there if, you know, one of your killers is in the box or, you know, what have you. You get a little later in your career and you understand those types of things. And a lot of time, offensive players are not out there. The only reason they're on the penalty kill is maybe to poach a puck and go back the other way at you know, last 20 seconds or whatever it is. But he's a guy that can do that. And I think when you played in Minnesota, you know, you played under, you know, Boudreaux and the coaches they've had there, they play defense. That's a defensive-minded team. So I think a lot of times players' offensive numbers will suffer a little bit when they go there because they play so defensively. So I think that's kind of a requirement of playing for the Minnesota Wild is you have to play defense. So I think coming here, he's going to have a good understanding of what he has to do in the defensive zone, which is obviously one of John Hines' biggest things that he wants his teams to be able to do is to defend. So I think that he'll be he should be strong in that area for a young player.
Mace, great stuff. I know it's been hectic. It's going to continue to be hectic. We'll continue to monitor what happens the rest of the draft here and as the offseason unfolds. Thanks for joining us.
All right, no problem. If you guys miss me that bad again, I'll come back next week if you want to.
So. We always miss you. Come on.
Yeah, we miss you.
Right, okay. See you guys.
All right, Chris Mason joining us. We'll take a break when we come back. There are more things coming down the pike from the NFL, speculating on what the fate of the Titans will be. Not immediately on Sunday, but what could the possible penalties be for violating the protocols? We'll tell you the latest in just a moment. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on 102.5 The Game. Ah, very familiar tune.
You've heard this a time or two.
I've heard this many, many times. No question.
Hello again, everybody.
I heard a lot when I was 13, I think, but many, many times after I started in this business. Hey, as we return to the show here, ESPN The Game Nashville has your coverage of the MLB playoffs. Playoffs presented by Gary Force Acura. Tonight, ESPN 94.9 has Game 3 as Aaron Judge and the Yankees take on the Rays. Series tied at 1, 6 o'clock start. And 102.5 The Game will be carrying Game 2 of the Padres-Dodgers series with an 8 p.m. start time. Great story last night with Ryan Weathers, who had never pitched above Class A ball, makes his major league debut against the Dodgers at age 20, went an inning and a third, and did not give up a run. Great story for him, but Mookie Betts and the Dodgers prevailed 5-1, so Game 2 tonight. The Braves are underway in Game 2. No score in that one in the second inning against the Marlins. Braves take Game 1. Now, let's get back to the football.
Yes, a lot of tweets we need to read.
A lot of tweets. Let's start with Albert Breer. Albert Breer, sources, plural, as part of Monday's conference call with head coaches and GMs. The NFL showed the group pictures of Titans players breaking protocol by not wearing masks in the team facility. Also part of the presentation was about the Raiders charity event, coaches on the sidelines, etc. So it wasn't just about the Titans, but you start to see, again, the picture coming clear. We keep wondering, when are they going to render the final findings? We also have the report today verifying what was started to trickle out this morning, a gathering of players away from the facility when they were not supposed to do so while the facility was closed.
Right.
So you start asking, what are the punishments going to be? We know they're going to be punishments. Is forfeit on the table? The answer is no. Chase, do you have that one that has come down the pike? Judy Bautista?
Do. Give me just a second. I have sent a lot of tweets to you. Here we go. Was told by a source that a forfeit has not been part of the conversation about the Titans situation. That is Judy Bautista from the NFL Network putting that out. I do want to read this.
So we've kicked this around today. That's important.
Yeah.
That told by a source that a forfeit is not part of the conversation, which we have speculated all along. That would be really extreme, a forfeit. I was surprised, but
sure.
It was in the memo. So it depends on how severe those sanctions would be. And of course, you know, I go back. We haven't talked about Adam Schefter's allegation. There haven't been any new information on how they handled that situation or that allegation, if it happened, the whole Shane Bowen situation. Now, what else do we have?
So I think it's important to get both sides of this story. You know, I said earlier that if the league mandated that they not gather and then they did it anyway, okay, that you just violated the rule. Now, Roger Saffold has tweeted out, who's of course the left guard for the Tennessee Titans. He put, guys just don't work out for fun. This is for their livelihood, their family, their opportunity. Say what you want, but I'm standing up for my team as always. And he was quoting the story that Paul Kaharsky put out about with the pictures and everything about them breaking the protocols. So I responded to that and I said, I understand your point, but did the league recommend you not gather or mandate that you not gather? Obviously a difference in the two. Well, I got an interesting reply, not from Roger Saffold, but from Rusty Smith, former Titans quarterback. I believe this is actually Rusty Smith. The league told the team that they would play Sunday, but also told them that they couldn't gather. If players don't prepare their bodies for a game, it could be dangerous. League's indecisiveness and prioritizing games greater than COVID can't be understated.
Rusty is giving you some stuff that Tim Hasselbeck was sort of sharing with is because at the time that this workout took place, the game against the Steelers was still on, right? The hope was we'll get back to the facility on Saturday. We'll play Sunday or Monday. No excuses. We got to be ready. All of that was the narrative that day. So I do think that's got to be taken into account when you're trying to determine the severity of that violation. It's a violation on some level, but it's not as harsh as that would have been had they done that workout Friday after the game had been postponed, right? Because that by Friday, for example, more positive tests, game postponed, you're shooting for the game against the Bills. But that at that time, the game against the Steelers was still on. That's an important context.
Yeah, and so that's my point. You know what both Roger said and Rusty, and I get both sides. I certainly understand. This is where both sides have to learn something. That's what you know you've been saying about you, hoping that they learn something out of this.
Yes, and the work league, collectively to sort it out, and so you can educate everybody else.
Right. I mean, the league, I think it is true that they were trying to get the game in, and so maybe it wasn't necessarily indecisiveness. It was just they were trying to wait as long as they could. But again, I asked the question, did they say that you are forbidden from working out at another facility, or we recommend that you don't do that? We recommend that you keep your guys, you know, at their homes and the while the facility is closed.
Good question.
That it's a huge difference in what's happening, and the fact that they're coming out and they're saying that they're saying that forfeit is not on the table kind of tells me that, all right, maybe the message wasn't very clear. So my hope is that the NFL learns from this of we have to make the message much, you know, make it clearer. The Titans learn that when we're told to do something, that this is what we have to do. But I can certainly understand if they didn't play. I mean, if they were going to play, and it looks like A.J. Brown has weighed in. See if I can find that in a second. But if they thought that they were going to play and they couldn't prepare, I mean, you're right. That is dangerous. So, I mean, there are certainly – you can certainly take points from both sides of this situation. It's a huge mess. It's a huge learning experience for not only the team and the NFL. And I know there are people that have replied and said, you know, Andrew says, dude, come on, you know damn well every other team would be doing the same thing if their facility got shut down. They, the Titans, just got caught. Okay. You're right. They got caught. So it's just this is why the NFL needs to come out and say something. They need to tell us what they found.
Well, and they have to determine what are they doing about Sunday.
Yeah.
Because that's just a few days away here.
I recommend A.J. Brown not tweet. He says he quoted the story with the pictures. A jury couldn't convict to say that is us in the photo. I plead the fifth. Y'all stay safe out there. Sometimes you need to just not tweet.
That's you're better off not saying anything there. I agree.
Sometimes the best way to plead the fifth is by not speaking.
What is he? Right. What is he even trying to say?
I think he just admitted guilt. I mean, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know.
I mean, we know it's clearly them in the photo. So is he just trying to be funny, make light of it?
I guess, but he's getting attention that
I think you're trying.
Titans wouldn't want him to have right now.
Instead of pleading the fifth, I think you're trying to plead to a lesser charge. You're trying to rationalize it by saying, at the time, our game was still on. We couldn't go to our facility. We wanted to work out. Are we guilty of perhaps going out there not knowing, even though all of us had tested negative at the time, were we guilty of working out knowing that somebody could have been positive? Maybe somebody in that group eventually did test positive. I don't know specifically who was at the workout and who wasn't. That's what they're guilty of, right? More than anything else. And on top of that, what were they told? As you've that's been your main thing, is what had they been told at that time?
What was the message from the league?
Yes. Was the league prohibiting them from doing that at the time? Because then that's part of the equation too. So I think you're pleading to a lesser charge. You shouldn't be pleading the fifth. I think he's just trying to be funny. But
Dansby Swanson with a big fly to put the Braves up 1-0.
Yeah, nice to see him cranking it up here. He had been one for his first 12. Now he's got a couple of homers in his last couple of times up.
I will take that for the Bravos. 31 pitches already thrown, and they're in the bottom 30. Or bottom of the second inning, 32 pitches thrown.
Yeah, Pablo Lopez, he is an emerging star as a starting pitcher for the Marlins. That's been part of their story, especially the starting pitchers are the ones where it's starting to materialize, some guys who are good arms, but they're still young. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we will try to figure out what we've learned here today and where to go from here before we hand the baton over to Jared and the GM. and see what they're up to as they try to hash out what's going on here for both the Titans and the Predators. It's been a busy day. Stay tuned. We're coming back to wrap it up after this here on 102.5 The Game. This is the end. Beautiful friend. Coming down the home stretch of our show here, final segment before Jared and the GM take over at 2 o'clock. Ongoing coverage of the Titans situation, the NHL draft, and the Predators. It's been very busy. Tomorrow, Silly Underdog Picks will crank up again for week 5. Make your picks of 3 college or 3 pro football underdogs that you think will win outright. Underdog must win outright starting every Thursday and before the college games begin on Saturday. So play along with us. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Party Foul gift card. So just hit us up at thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and make your picks. So we will crank that up again tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Play that and pick 6 with us every week. So the Braves have a 1-0 lead in the top of the third against the Marlins in game 2. And so, Chase, one last time, let's recap what has gone on. Why don't you take – is there any latest tweets down the scroll that I've missed in the last 90
no,
seconds?
No, not really. I mean, we're seeing a lot of the same stories now being rehashed.
Right, the ripples now, are
getting
okay,
there is a – okay, here we go. There is another one. Chris Harris, Channel 4, WSMV, putting this out. Montgomery Bell headmaster Brad – Joya confirms to WSMV the Titans players did use their field on September 30th and that quarterback Ryan Tannehill called NBA coaches to ask if they could. One question is, when was the NFL protocol prohibiting gatherings outside the team facility put in place? That's the very question that I have been asking.
The question. That
was
is
this
the question.
Was it a we recommend at that time you do not gather or we mandate? There's a huge difference. If the league said that we recommend and they did it anyway, okay. But if it was a mandate, then it's a completely different story. Now, we know that Judy Batista of the NFL Network reported that a forfeit is not on the table for the Titans. So Jeffrey Simmons now tweeting, we all got what all we need. Can't express that enough. Hashtag tighten up.
What?
I have no idea what that means. We all we need. Can't express that enough. Tighten up.
All right. So stick together, basically.
Right, right.
All right. If you knew now what you didn't know back then, NBA probably never lets them come on the campus. Right?
Sure.
That's not a smart thing to do. But remember at the time, and this is before we really went over what we should have known, but we wanted to believe. I remember the quote from Tim Hasselbeck. He reiterated himself. We had him on a Wednesday. And what were his ominous words? The negative tests don't mean anything yet.
Right.
Right? It's good news in the moment, but you can't know if you're going to have more positive tests. And sure enough, we know what happened since then. But again, in the context, on that day, they probably told NBA and Brad Gioia, hey, none of us have – we've all tested negative several times. I think we're okay. We can't get into our facility. Can we use your field? Right? I'm sure it seemed reasonable at the time. You know, NBA doesn't probably know all of the ins and outs, but they, okay, take your word for it. Go ahead. Use our field. It's outside. But you hit the central question. What had the team been told at that point? Because we know the team had been told you could be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, but you can't go into your facility before Saturday. You got to work out. You got to get ready. That's a reasonable thing. But of course, we know a lot more about it now in retrospect. So if you're asking me in terms of the punishment, we know forfeit is not in the cards here.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it. I'm still more concerned about what happened with Shane Bowen and this Albert Breer tweet saying, they use the Titans examples showing video of players walking around the facility without masks on. The Wall Street Journal picture of Shane Bowen talking without a mask on in practice. Shane Bowen, of course, we know tested positive. Adam Schefter reported that Shane Bowen was around somebody that had it, showed up to work the next day, and was coaching with a mask on. Those are more serious allegations, I think, than this whole NBA story. That's my take on it, but we'll have to wait and see the league's findings. Now, in our last minute or two, let's quickly go over the Predators stuff. Chase, you want to start it? Or do you want me to recap it?
We can do that. So they have traded Nick Bonino and a couple of draft picks to Minnesota.
A second and a third round.
And they've gotten Luke Cunning and a fourth rounder in return. Luke Cunning is a former first round draft pick of the Minnesota Wild. He's had about 3 years of experience, handful of games. This year was obviously the most that he's gotten. Played 63 games, had 31 points, including 15 goals for the Minnesota Wild. So he comes back. He's 22 years old and a restricted free agent, so you'll have to figure out what his contract looks like moving forward. The Predators also placed Kyle Turris on waivers to buy him out, and Steven Santini as well. So they have cleared up some cap space. They now have about $17.6 million in cap space available to them. So what does that mean moving forward? And, oh, by the way, they've been drafting players trying to replenish the cupboard of prospects in this organization.
They drafted a right winger and a defenseman in the second and third round today. And they still have a couple of fourth-round picks they have to work with here. So I think that the word that comes to mind for me, Chase, is flexibility. They've given themselves a lot of cap flexibility and roster maneuverability. Cunning is going to be a key piece. We're going to have to learn a lot more about him. This trade hinges on his long-term production for this team. They were only going to have Nick Bonino for one more year, likely anyway, and that could have been a very valuable year. But Cunning is a guy they conceivably could have for the next 5, 6, 7 years if he works out. And they've got his rights. They've got the restrictions. They can do some different things on how they want to pay him. But former first-round pick, developed, ready to maybe blossom. A lot of potential there. We'll see. But Nick Bonino plus a second and a third, that's an expensive price to give up to get him. But they have now the ability to see what bargains might be out there for other veterans. Or if they want to make a big splash in the free agent market, they've got the cap space to do it as well. All right, that's going to do it for us. What a show. It felt like it went by in a blink of an eye. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back tomorrow morning. It's going to take us every bit of our mental strength to rest up and be ready to go, recharge tomorrow. So in that time, we will turn it over to Jared and the GM. Chase, great stuff. Elijah, great stuff. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow here on 102.5 The Game.